Blog Talk Radio.
Detour on a ride for a phone call and a soul. I'm a blur from the driver's side. I'm the last gas for an hour if you're going 25. I am Texaco and tobacco. I am dust you leave.
On the East Coast, out in Myrtle Beach. Good morning on the West Coast, and a great day to you wherever. And oh, by the way, whenever you may be listening, broadcasting live from the studios of EloquentOnline.net in beautiful, sunny New Braunfels, Texas, Republic thereof. And a long, long walk, but a short flight on the Millennium Falcon. His name is Tough Talkin' Troy. Troy Hall, the Chief Operating Officer at South Carolina Federal Credit Union, keeping life simplified. Hey, buddy, how you doing?
I am doing great, and I just want to let you know that I am riding super high from your tweet this week that said, dude is buff. I'm telling you, that was, like, really great. See, it's almost like you voted for me to be hotter anyway.
Never do that.
Man, when I'm listening to The Power of Performance, I just can't decide who's hotter, Jason or Troy.
I can't even try.
No.
Woo!
Dude, by your own affirmation, you've already declared me hotter. You said, "Dude is buff." I was not talking about you at all.
That's not synonymous with a vote in our longstanding Socratical question on the show, which is called, by the way, since you're listening, The Power of Performance, the show that asked the question, if your brand were a band, would you leave the audience wanting more? You've already heard about two of them, Eloquent Online and South Carolina Federal Credit Union. You're going to hear about a third brand today, the Carolinas Credit Union League, their first ever combined event occurred last week out in beautiful Myrtle Beach, where I had never been. And Troy, I got to tell you, all joking aside, it was so very, very nice to meet you in person for the second or third time. I've not seen you in 8 years. It was great to see you down in the vendor hall. It was great to meet your wife. Tweet this, Google circle that, Facebook, whatever. Nothing compares to the human interaction of friends and family, and it was just awesome.
It was, and you know, and really the interesting thing about that is, and we talk about this through our areas of social media. Social media is an extension of a conversation, and so basically when we had an opportunity to reconnect physically again, there really wasn't a big disparity in that because we had been keeping in conversation along the way. And so, you know, it was just really been great to enhance the communication and enhance that. And I think that that's what we bring in conversation to the show, is that when we talk about these varieties of channels and varieties of ways for people to connect, we never say that one is better than the other. They
that's
all
right.
have their
that's
means
right.
of application. But the most important thing is to make sure you're utilizing all these various touch points in order to extend the conversation. Because if not, then it's, you know, then it's over. So
that's right. Yeah. And you know, while we're talking about that, right before I left out to the show, by the way, I landed in Richmond, Virginia last Wednesday. Nike, our violinist, Troy, who you met, at the show. Our incredibly talented master violinist, Nike Van Wyk, met me in Richmond. We drove down and we visited the team at State Employees Credit Union in Raleigh on Thursday morning, and then drove down to Myrtle Beach. Wonderful meeting with the folks at State Employees. Then we drove down to Myrtle Beach, and I remember I rolled into the vendor hall, and the first question I asked was, "Hey, where's Troy?" So it was a lot of fun. It is great to make those in-person connections. Troy, we lost you. No, we didn't. Are you back? You muted the phone, didn't you?
I'm always here. I'm always here.
It was great to come down, and it was we're going to talk about this today. The Credit Union Conference last week in Myrtle Beach, I thought, was a tremendous case study in the real world of credit unions. I saw both extremes of the generational dynamic. I sensed the value of in-person contact and how no webinar or social media post. I think we, you and I, Troy, completely confirmed what we've said all along, that it's about finding the right balance between all of these communicative variables. And speaking of social media, after the break, we're going to have young Courtney Jordan from the Carolinas.
No, Courtney Jackson.
Courtney Jackson. But what I was saying about before I got down there, I spoke to Jay Kassing, who works at Marquee, who is the show's sponsor. And we're not going to do a pitch for Marquee this week, because Marquee is a wonderful Christian family business. And last week they suffered a tremendous personal loss. And on behalf of Troy and myself, we're thinking about those guys. We're not going to go into any details. Just know that we're thinking about you guys out in Texas and all the family that's come down there from around the country. But we were excited. I was excited. Nike Scott and myself were excited to get down to Myrtle Beach. It was great to see you, Troy. In case y'all are wondering how it occurred, I was looking for Troy, and so I came up from behind and put him in a headlock. Kind of a sucker punch, if you ask me.
It was, and I recognize your shortness right from the beginning.
Oh,
so I knew
very
who you were.
Funny. Well, look at the picture. I'm actually a little taller than Troy. Hey guys, when we get back from the break,
you were on a step stool. So I mean, come on.
When we get back from the break, we're gonna. When I get from the break, we're gonna talk to Courtney Jackson, and we'll do it all right after this. Listen online. You can listen on your smartphone. You can listen later whenever you need to. This is the power of performance. Courtney Jackson, please save the radio show and say hello to everybody.
I know I need to do something, don't I?
Oh, please do.
Hello, Jason.
Courtney,
hello,
yes.
Troy.
Hi, Courtney.
Hi.
Oh, man. Hey, Courtney, I met you, I think, for the first time out in Myrtle Beach last week. First of all, tell the audience about you and your career with credit unions and the Carolinas Credit Union League.
Oh, sure. Well, I started with the league, actually. Not really familiar with credit unions at all until I got this job, starting out as a communications specialist about 4 years ago, and then recently promoted to director of communications, which kind of covers all the facets of social media, as you all talked about today, as well as PR and managing our website and any other channel of communication that you can think of.
Yeah. And, Courtney, I know the effort you put in, having worked very closely with you here in South Carolina. And so I know there was a lot of activity going on in combining the two leagues, South Carolina and North Carolina, and so into one event. It seemed that there was a very favorable response, you know, from the participants there. And I just jokingly, that some of the folks from Pinehurst from North Carolina said, "Oh, thank God there is a beach," so which was kind of nice. But what was your take on some of the feedback that you were getting from this first legacy event?
Oh yes, well, you know, we were already getting positive feedback actually at the conference last week, But it's only being reaffirmed this week as we send out our post-annual meeting survey. It's just an overwhelmingly positive response. You know, no doubt there's some tweaks we have to make for next year, but it's definitely a great starting point for this new league, combining two different cultures and but all with one mission, you know, to serve our credit unions and then for credit unions to serve their members. So we're all on the same page in that aspect.
Well, yeah, and you kind of consider yourself, and Jason, before you get in, you kind of consider yourself like the big music store, right? Like all these different places come there to get their music. So basically that's what the league does. It sort of kind of helps in that performance that we're doing.
Absolutely, and you kind of have to have a variety of genres available for people.
Well, I'll tell you what, that's what we're going to talk about. And I'm going to talk very honestly in the second half of the show about the tweaks that I think would make what I – and I've been to a lot of these events. Courtney, I've been to a lot of them. I thought it was a great event. I absolutely loved it.
Oh, thank you.
We had a blast. Myself, Scott, and Ike have done a lot of these events. They're young guys. I'm the old guy. And we were all just excited about everything that happened. You handled the social media part of the show. My participation in the show this year was based upon my participation in the South Carolina events back in 2003 and 2004, when I think Courtney might have been about, I don't know, 4 years old. There was no talk about social media. I remember, you know, in those days, there was a photographer at those events that posted the pictures in a monthly paper newsletter that went out in a bulk mail. I wanted to ask you about this new role that every conference has to have, taking the pictures, posting the tweets, doing the hashtags and all that stuff. It is a different dimension that's been added to these live events. Tell us your thoughts about it.
Definitely it has. It's just, like Troy mentioned, another channel to extend that conversation. I remember you mentioned 2004. That was when I think Facebook was really picking up.
Right.
Which is odd to think about now, and I was in college at that time. But it's so natural now, you know, for any conference or any big event, if you're not on Facebook or social media sharing it, it's as if it's not happening, at least for those not in attendance. And so you have this opportunity, especially with Twitter, which we use predominantly during the conference, to see the experiences of your participants, you know, that are interacting on that platform. So you have good feedback coming in there, and you get, you know, a variety of different experiences happening. And then you have the in-person communication where people are telling you, you know, this conference is amazing and y'all managed to pull it together. And so it's another channel, and it's good to have in this day and age, you know.
And one of my responsibilities being there was to help support the CU Aware program, which is for young professionals, and something that I know that you have championed from South Carolina to actually now combine to the CU Aware program for both states. And we did a little program. I can't take any credit for it. The team that was there, I came to help, but the team that organized it came up with this very creative way in which they could do costumes by cutouts that you held on a stick, and you could actually then take different pictures and poses, and then you can post those with your hashtags and communication. So tell me a little bit about how you see that young professional group, how that was impactful into what was happening with this. And then I think there's a special protege program or something coming up that I want you to talk about too.
Oh, yes. I was just thoroughly impressed with the CU Aware group. You know, before consolidation, we had the CU Forward organization in South Carolina. A lot of the members transferred over to CU Aware, which was founded and started in North Carolina. But CU Aware opens up not just for young professionals, but for any new person in the credit union industry, no matter your age, to get involved and to understand the principles and philosophy of the credit union industry. So when CU Aware got their booth at the annual meeting, we were, you know, thoroughly excited and even more impressed with what they transformed that exhibitor booth into, which is basically a photo booth, which brought in a social aspect to the conference in that area, where you had people of all ages coming in and just having a ball, dressing up and posting their photos on social media. And then leading into that, CU Aware also adopted South Carolina's formerly called Palmetto Protégé Competition, now the CUAIR Protégé competition. And what that gives is the opportunity for young professionals, 35 and under, to compete, basically, testing their principles and philosophy knowledge on credit union industry, as well as giving them the opportunity to have a stage to talk in front of credit union leaders in the Carolinas at the final competition. And basically the reward is not only for the people competing to have developmental scholarships, but also for those in attendance to see these rising professionals coming out of their credit unions. I think that's important as far as we're talking about generations and the longevity of this industry.
Absolutely. Absolutely. You know, Courtney, that was one of the things that impressed me. And I'm just going to tell you this since you're still live on the air with us. It is a difficult thing to do, to find the right balance to entertain and inform an audience where you have very drastic differences in ages. And if I had to, you know, give out kind of a grade on this, I thought you guys scored very, very highly on finding that right balance. You had information. You know, we brought some entertainment to the event with the live music. You had a great layout in the vendor hall. You had the charitable auction event for the foundation and stuff like that. I really want to tell you, we enjoyed it so much. I called Scott. Remember Scott, our singer-songwriter?
Oh, yeah.
I called him yesterday. We were talking. Everything we do at Eloquent Online is based upon a musical progression of fourths. You practice, you perform, you review, and then you repeat. So we were in the review phase yesterday. I spoke to both Scott and Nike yesterday. And I called Scott to talk to him about the generational differences in the audience. Like, you know, Scott, you know what I noticed about the audience this time around in Myrtle Beach? And Scott interrupts me, as he is wont to do. And he goes, what, that we still – he said, what, that we still rock? He was so excited about the event. We're all still on a big high about the event. Courtney, on behalf of Troy and myself, I want to thank you so much for taking some time out of your day. This has been a lot of fun talking to you. As usual, we gave you less than 24 hours notice to be on the show.
Yes, but I work in communications, so we're always ready.
Yeah, that's right. You know? That's right. You're always ready. One of the last things we like to ask people, kind of just a fun question, before we go to the mid-show break. If you were walking through the airport or through the hotel and you dropped your phone on the ground and myself or Troy picked it up and found it, what kind of music would we get to listen to?
Oh, gosh. Probably if I'm in a rock mood, it'd probably be The Killers, Runaway.
Runaway. Yeah. Right. Well, most people that listen to this show end up running away. So that's a great way. That's a great way to end
it. That's because you kill them off.
Hey, Courtney, thanks so much for jumping on. You have a great, great rest of your week. I'm looking forward to seeing all the feedback from your first ever historical legacy combined event, North and South Carolina. Until next we speak, Courtney, you've got a friend here in Texas and up at South Carolina Federal Credit Union. Thank you so much for joining us.
Thank you, Jason. Thank you, Troy.
We'll talk to you
soon. You're welcome. Awesome. And, Jason, I should tell you that if individuals would like to see some of the photos that we took in the CUAIR photo booth, they just need to go to hashtag IAmAware. And all those photos will come forward and they'll be able to see them.
All right. Hey, folks, we'll be right back after this. Tune in June 12th for American Boomer Radio with Johnny V. Find out which generation is keeping the lights on. He's absolutely right. In case you haven't figured it out, folks. That's what happens when you don't watch the timer on the bump. Hey, folks, listen, in case you haven't figured it out, Eloquent Online is doing lots of radio shows. We did a show for the World Council, our most listened to show in the month of May, and this past Monday we did a show for CUNA Mutual, and then next week we're doing a Baby Boomer show. You want to tune in to that. But my favorite, my baby, is always going to be The Power of Performance, the show on Wednesday where the talk is hot, but the hosts are
hotter, definitely hotter, sizzling.
Woo, baby.
Wow. Yep. I noticed that you really didn't ask Courtney who is hotter because you knew what she was going to say.
I knew what she was going to say. I mean, it's so obvious. I did not want to hurt your feelings on our first live show since reunited.
Remember who wrote Dude is Buff? I'm just saying. Who wrote that? That was you. You wrote that.
It's a confident man in Texas who can make such a tweet. Hey, listen, Troy, I want to talk about this. We got 9 minutes and 20 seconds left on the show.
Okay.
Scott, Nike, and myself love doing these events, but there are some barriers to doing these events. Number one, there's 3 of us, which makes it a little expensive in terms of time and travel. There is the issue that both Scott and Nike are full-time professionals in their own right, as am I, but this was an event we circled on our 2014 calendar and said, we're going to go down there and blow this sucker up. We, all 3 of us, loved doing this event. I wanted to ask you honestly, no hyperbole, as a baby boomer, as a youngish baby boomer in the audience, what did you think of the use of live music at that event?
Well, all I can sum it up by simply telling you that I'm still asking myself what starfish and coffee, maple syrup, and strawberry jam have to do with building a brand. So when I figure that out, I'll be good.
Oh.
No, I'm just – that's a little bit of fun there with the music. But, no, I think it's a – the music is a great way to illustrate what we're doing. It's a great way to illustrate the whole relationship aspect that has to do – between the consumer and the brand. And so it was a great opportunity for people to get engaged. One of the things that we're learning through the literature is telling us is that it's about employee engagement. If you want to see consumer loyalty, then it starts with employee engagement. And
yep.
So definitely the one thing that was clear was that individuals were engaged in the activity within that hour and a half, which really didn't seem like an hour and a half.
Yeah, everyone
for,
said that.
Your performance, yeah.
Everyone said that. Everyone said the time went by very, very quickly. We talked about this before. Like I said, the musical concept of these 4 things, practice, perform, review, and repeat. In the practice phase, we talked about the need to get off the stage and get down with the audience. Even though we didn't know how the room was going to be laid out. We didn't know if it was going to be laid out with tables or kind of auditorium style. When I spoke to Scott and Nike yesterday, the thing that they both brought up was about how we did the sing-along, the Starfish and Coffee sing-along. We almost always do just 3 groups. And as we were walking back up to the stage, there was a 4th group that said, no, we want to get in on the sing-along, and they ended up winning it. And we were like, that's the encore. That's the proof that people were really enjoying this. What I want to talk about more importantly, though, than just the way people reacted to our event, because we had no doubt how people were going to react to it, was when I was out there amongst the audience, I noticed a distinct generational chasm. You had the 60, 70-year-old board member demographic, and then you had your generation and younger. And it seemed like to me that is a generational chasm that credit unions have to deal with in terms of employees and audience and marketing and everything else. And I thought as a baby boomer, you probably have a very, very good view of these 2 extremes.
Definitely. And you will see that. And the reason why you may have seen a little less from that particular demographic group of 30 and under or 35 and under is because the way that the Carolinas League is now positioning the opportunities, and so the leadership forum that we do as a combined group in September will be in Pinehurst, North Carolina. And during that leadership program is when more of the young professionals will be attending that session. And I am actually speaking. I'm doing a leadership series for them at that session on September 5th.
You know, everyone was talking about that. You know, we're not going to alternate between North and South Carolina. And I got to tell you, while I'm thinking about it, your president, Scott Woods, made a joke about Pinehurst, too, being kind of isolated compared to the beach and Myrtle Beach and stuff like that. But I think it's great that you're finding ways to, again, balance a show that makes sense for folks that might be on the older scale of the demographic and a show that is relevant to the younger demographic. I was very, very intrigued by that. I thought that when you put on these events, and I got to tell you, I got a big shout out to Barb Lahue and everybody at the Carolinas League. When you put on an event like this, there are so many people involved in, you know, planning and participating and everything else that, you know, like I said, we've been to a lot of these, but I'm going to be very, very honest with you. As a Gen Xer, as a 46-year-old, I thought it was beautiful. I mean, I thought it was great. It was a beautiful location. It was in a great spot. I thought the vendor hall was laid out in a way that you could get to see everybody very, very quickly. But I do want to talk about some of the improvements that I would make to make it even more impactful and more personal. But I wanted to ask you first, as a participant, if you could pick one thing that you would change, what would it be?
Well, for me, it really would have been the it would have been the way that the exhibitor hall was laid out. So that was, and we've talked a little bit because, again, I participate with the Carolinas League and support a lot of those activities. And again, it's all part of it being a first-time opportunity. There were more vendors there than normal or partners there than normal. And so that layout was just a tad bit crowded. And would have been a little different. That would have been my request to have made some changes. And I've already voiced that, but not as a complete negative. It wasn't like it was horrible. It's just that I would have done that to improve it. And that's what critiquing and criticism is for, is to look for ways to improve and not necessarily tearing people down.
Well, it was the first time I'd seen the vendor hall done that way. It's almost always in a really, really big room, you know, like at GAC or other places where you can kind of walk around in a circle or a U and hit all the booths. In this particular arrangement, you had to kind of find your way into smaller rooms and stuff like that. As somebody who wasn't really all that interested in the vendors that were there, it didn't bother me. I kind of liked everything being in a kind of a tight, compact space. And we can talk all day about the ROI on sending two people out to set up the booth and give away the pens and stuff like that. But what I really wanted to talk about was the place where the performances were going on in the big banquet hall. If I could have changed anything, and I witnessed, I think, all of the sessions on the day that we spoke. I saw some of the reporter that was up. I didn't see Vince Papale, but I did see the end of the reporter from CNN. Obviously, I was participating in our session. I saw a little bit of Mark, not much, and then the guy from the September 11th bunker thing. I would try to find a way to make that banquet hall more intimate, pulling the tables up right up to the stage or eliminating the tables altogether and kind of making it very, very intimate. I know some people were talking about the sound, they couldn't hear things. It was a very, very big space because there were almost 400 people in that room. But honestly, from an audiovisual, and when I was standing in the back of the room, Troy, and folks, we're going to go into bonus time. I'm sorry. We're 90 seconds left. When I was standing in the back of the room, it wasn't an issue in our session because we don't use a PowerPoint or bullet points. I could not see the bullet points on the PowerPoint presentation of the reporter when I was standing in the back of the room. I simply could not see them.
Right. And again, these are the items and the elements. As we talk about these, and folks will kind of wonder, like, so you're spending time talking about this, you know, this meeting and what, but it's about a performance. So you have to translate that to what you do each and every day. And right. So if you are creating a performance with your brand, with connecting with the consumer, because for this event, for this meeting event, all the credit union professionals, whether they were staff or board members, volunteers, those individuals were the clients. They were the consumers for the event. And so you have to, and I know that the Carolinas League folks, I know them very well. They worked very hard to make this venue work. But you're right. Sometimes what happens is technical items, technical pieces, they tend to not necessarily translate as well from one opportunity to another. And some of it I also, here is the problem. The problem
bonus
is
time.
That, okay, why you yours was not an issue is because you played to the concept that you don't put every word you're going to say onto a screen.
Right.
So where the difficulty is why you couldn't read most of the others is because most presenters fail to remember that you don't put every word on a screen. They should be a few words that create an imagery or a message that you want to do, much like what you did, but you even have it even crafted even further to the degree of just a little bit of a hint, and then you fill in with your words later. That would be very helpful for individuals to remember that when they do those venues, and that would help the performance, but it wasn't anything that the folks preparing for the performance could do. It's when you're bringing in performers. It's like if you have somebody who's substituting for your tuba, you better make sure that they know
how to play the tuba.
How to play the music. You know, what the music is and how much sound they got to have for how big the hall is. You know, and all
exactly.
That stuff.
Well, like I said, that was my little minor tweak. Everything else I thought was great. I saw people engaged. I saw people enthusiastic. There were interesting topics for people to consider in a beautiful location. Hey, folks, before we get out of here, speaking of South Carolina Federal Credit Union, the president of South Carolina, in addition to being good enough to share Troy with us most Wednesdays for almost 5 years now, Scott Woods. Troy, he took us out to dinner that Friday night at a place called New York Prime in Myrtle Beach. And, Troy, it might be the best meal I've ever had in my life.
Oh, good. Well, I'm I'm glad he treated you nicely. That's good.
Oh my gosh, I told him at the dinner. I said it's going to be hard to go back to Texas and break out the fried chicken and hamburger helper next week. Now, you took some people out to dinner as well. You took some of those young credit union professionals, and you said, "Oh yeah, Jason, I'm taking some of these young credit union professionals out to dinner." I just wanted to ask you, how was dinner at Wendy's? Was it pretty good? I mean, was it? I know you break out the checkbook when you come to these events, so I mean.
I guess at least we didn't have to take our teeth out in order to eat.
No, we did not, and we did not have to take, Troy and I did not have to take out our teeth out to do the show either. Courtney sent me an email just now saying that she hoped she did okay. Trust me, Courtney, on behalf of Troy and myself, you did awesome. Everybody else, thank you so much for listening. This was a great, great week out in Myrtle Beach, South Carolina, the first ever combined credit union event, kind of a bookend. I first met Troy at a South Carolina event, and then 10 years later, here we are meeting up and doing another event with over 400 radio shows in between us. We saw some people that we knew. We had a great, great time. I got to meet Troy's wife, which was just absolutely awesome. Like I said, a nicer guy you will never meet. And it is my pleasure to do the show every single week. Myself, Jason Dias from New Braunfels, Texas, Republic thereof. And his name is Tough Talking Troy Hall from the holy city of Charleston, South Carolina, where even when it rains,
the sun still shines.
And if you can't tell, I am feverishly looking for the radio exit button. I just found it. Till next we speak, Troy and I will talk to you all next week. Take care.